This is the views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes? There comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And welcome to the Essentials. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, on this, a special edition of The Essentials, The Reset. Tonight, this evening, for the rest of the time my guest is able to be with me, you are going to be listening to Unchained Essentials. This one is a special one, ladies and gentlemen, special for many, many reasons. But I'm just going to give you two. First and foremost, my guest is an individual who I have a lot of regard for, a lot of respect. He's an individual who is very caring, who is very supportive, who will share with you lessons which will take you very far in life. That is assuming that you listen. And to this particular gentleman, this particular guest, I will say to you unequivocally, I always listen. Always. And the second reason is that this evening he is putting out something which is a manifestation of discussions which we have had in the past. He spoke about it, it came into being, and now it is writing. And so without further ado, this is a big event, this is a big moment, I'm going to introduce you to the one and only, an individual who is a hotelier, an author, a songwriter, husband, father, a man for many, many seasons, a man of all seasons. My guest this evening is Mr. Roderick Colebrook. Roderick, are you there? I think we have lost him after my big introduction, but he'll be back. We're going to be discussing a book which he is putting out, launching tomorrow. And the book is really, as he describes it, a poetic journey of slavery, a poetic journey of slavery. And so as we work and wait until he comes back, Mr. Producer, we're going to start for a song because we have to set tone right this evening. I know there's so many, many things that we could be discussing this evening. There's so many rich and deep pieces of information. A lot of persons are so enamored with the developments of FTX and SBF. But we're not going to do that this evening. This evening, we are going to talk to a friend, to a brother, to a mentor about his newest project, his newest book. But let's set the tone very, very good, very well. And there's no better way to do this. If we're going to be talking about change, and if the show this evening is going to be the Unchained Essentials, then we must start this with the one and only Obia Man, Mr. Producer.
Hi, Mr. Edwards. How are you? This is Roderick Fulbrook. I'm back on. I had a little technical difficulties, but I am so excited to be here with you today.
We're here. We're getting ready for you. One second. We're just setting the tone. We have a song coming in right now.
Okay.
It's a producer. Let's go.
Okay. So let's move on then. 9 months in my mama's belly. When I was born, the midwife screamed and shout. I had fire and brimstone coming out of my mouth. I'm in coma. When I lived in the stars, Exuma was a planet that once with Mars. I got the voices of many in my throat, the teeth of a frog and the tail of a goat. I'm Exuma.
And you make her some tea.
Oh, yeah.
And she will love you.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
And when she got to running.
Oh, yeah.
Like a train on a track.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we wanted to start. Welcome back after your technical problems, Mr. Roger Colbrick. It's such a pleasure to have you here with us. I introduce you. You didn't hear some of it, so we're going to do that again because I think it is so, so important. We have with us the hotelier, the author, the songwriter, the husband, the father, a man of many seasons, a man for all seasons, an individual who I consider to be a mentor and a friend. A very wise individual, a very humble individual, but most of all, for the purpose of tonight, one of the most creative individuals you will come across here in the Bahamas. Roger Colbrook, welcome back to The Essentials.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hubert Edwards, H.E. It's just a pleasure to be here to join you and talk about the subjects right now. You know, so thank you for having me here.
I know there's a reason why we kind of try to set the tone this evening, you know, starting with some Obi-Man. We have some stuff from Jamaica. We have a little bit from Africa. We have some things from the Bahamas. Because this evening is a creative evening. It's about being poetic. It's about reaching back into the past and touching those untold stories, those untouched stories, making what you refer to as a poetic journey of slavery. Talk to us about this new book that you're launching tomorrow, Change Chains.
Why, thank you so much. Change, Mr. H.E. First of all, let me just tell you, it's not a history book, but it's a thought-provoking book. It's something that I wrote because I was very, very uncomfortable with what was going on with me or the history of our people. And I used to sit back and wondered, you know what, how I would blend into society if, you know, if I was born back in the days of slavery, what it would be like for me. And I just thought about it so many times and I just couldn't rest. I thought about the injustices. I thought about oppression, and I sat back, and I just created something that I thought was special that I wanted to present to you. And that is Change Chains. I wanted to present to the Bahamas and then on to the world.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a timely book. It's coming out at the right time when persons can use it for the purpose of, you know, presents to buy for loved ones and also for yourself. Very, very attractive. You see persons on the front of the book with, you know, big, strong men in chains. But yeah, once you look at that, it's evoking a time, it's evoking a place, mentally, so to speak. It's evoking, you know, emotions and it's churning at the heart and the brain. Things, you know, as you said, that we would have experienced not personally, but those things are embedded definitely in our DNA. Those are things which our forefathers went through the experience of slavery, and in many ways have changed the direction of our people.
Yes, indeed. One of the things is why I wrote this is because, you know, I wanted to do something that was thought-provoking, mm-hmm. something that you would sit back and just think about so many times of what our people went through, how we got from the slavery time, how we got from being cast aside or captured, sent from a boat onto these Caribbean islands, the education that they were trained and what they had to go through for that. Then later mm-hmm. on the present situation, and then the current, mm-hmm. the current situation, and then the future. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I had to think about again and again. Now, Mr. Edwards, H.E., I know you like to be called H.E. Let me get right into it with you and really discuss it. What I wanted to do was to create something that I thought is so thought-provoking, whereby you would sit down and you could not stop reading it. And it started many years ago, and where I just sat with many of my elders. One story I told is a long time ago, shared this with my grandmother or great-grandmother, whereby she used to tell me when the first car came to the Bahamas, when the first airplane flew over in their young days. So I couldn't help but to listen to those type of stories. And slavery was also a story that I heard about during those times. And I was so captivated. I often wondered what it would be like if I was back in those times, if I was in that era. Initially, I said, boy, if I was back in that time where they couldn't tell me anything, I wouldn't go, I wouldn't move. But there was so much more to it than that, where the choice was not there for you or for me. And when I say you or for me, I'm talking about our forefathers. They didn't have a choice. They were taken. They were beaten. They were placed in chains, later to be sold as slaves. And that is what came to mind as I sat down and started creating this book. And it's a poetry. I call it a poetic journey that I express through this. And it was all stemmed on the feeling of what I would do if I was placed in that situation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about, you know, based on our reading of history, we understand, you know, what took place. So our forefathers were taken from Africa. Some came from Ghana. Some came from other places. A lot of them came to us, but came to this side of the world via West Africa. Yes. But certainly at the end of the day, one of the things that we as survivors want to take away from that whole experience is that simple fact. We were the survivors. We're the children of the survivors. We are the children of those who made it in many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are those, you know, people who made it through. But, you know, since we are the survivors, we have to know the story. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, many people don't tell the story because it makes a lot of others uncomfortable. It would make you uncomfortable, or you don't want to really talk about what
happened. Why do you think that is sort of, why is it that persons of African descent predominantly, but not only, African descent becomes, you know, so uncomfortable with the idea of discussing issues of slavery. Why is it that persons maybe of, you know, the Caucasian extract also become very uncomfortable hearing these things discussed? And, you know, oftentimes persons will say, you know, we are beyond that. That's a long time gone. I wasn't a slave. We need to, you know, just get over it and move on. Why do you think these things are still in play?
I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, first of all, let's accept the fact that it is still in play. These things are still happening. And many people benefit from what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And they get the benefit and they are very happy and they enjoy the benefits of having everything right now. But beforehand, the way that they got it was totally different. Many people, it was just given to them because of who they were and the color of their skins. But remember now, our forefathers, what makes us uncomfortable, what makes people today uncomfortable is because they don't want to hear how they got to this point right now. But we're standing on the backs of many people, our ancestors, who had to fight to give us the rights that we have here today. We are standing on their backs, and we should never be ashamed to speak about it. And when we start being ashamed, we have to ask ourselves the question of why. And that is one of the things that I wanted to point out in the book, to talk about it, to have a discussion, to have a thought-provoking discussion whereby we could really examine it. Why are you uncomfortable, sir? Why do you feel so bad about this? Why don't you want to say that you recognize the fact that our ancestors came here and beaten probably by your ancestors and put in the situations where we were considered less than a human being? And that's why we have to literally keep that knowledge inside. And also, Mr. Edwards, one of the things that make people feel really uncomfortable and don't want to talk about it is because they would say, well, things have changed. Things have changed. That's the old day. Let's move on. Let's get away from all that's happening. That's the past. We're not like that anymore. Yes, isn't that so easy? Let's forget about the past so that if, in fact, something happens again, we could just say, oh, this is now, we forgot about it. We are not thinking about it. We don't want anybody to realize what we have done. So we could do it again, but hey, we didn't do it as bad. So be lucky for what you have.
Okay. So this is as you say, it's a poetic journey. You know, I know you don't want to launch anything too big tonight, but, you know, we have to get a quick sneak peek. We have to get a sense of what this is about.
Absolutely, and I want to share some of it with you. If I could just share with you just the opening lines of the book to tell you. It it goes like this. Let me just go right ahead and tell you. But it starts with the journey. They were taken, beaten, placed in chains, later to be sold as slaves. Many warriors died before and during their ride to a new land where freedom was waved. Placed on parade, featured on stage, merchandise for all to see. Highest bidders purchased souls of the young and the old. The system took millions for free. H.E., that's just a part of the opening. Mm-hmm. Where I wanted to literally get everybody to understand that those who were bought here, they weren't bought here because they paid a ticket on a boat and were sent down here and going on a vacation. They were taken, dragged, they were beaten, they were chained up, chained, bullied and pushed and embarrassed, men, women, children. Mm-hmm. And they were taken, they were brought over here, and then they're placed on parade and sold. Can you imagine what they had to go through, what they had to endure just as humans?
Well, it was dehumanizing. was dehumanizing. Certainly, when you think about it, when you reflect on it, and you know, as we spoke about earlier, why some persons may want to forget, because when you reflect on these things, they evoke such dark emotions. It goes to certainly for me, it goes to a place where I literally feel sometimes hurt, but I usually reconcile and balance that with the fact that there is in this story, in this journey, from slavery to where you are today by using this name of chains. So my question is, because embodied in this whole story is a point of victory, is a point of overcoming, is a point of, you know, yes, we weren't here voluntarily, but we eventually got over. What is it that you are trying to evoke with this, with the title that you choose? You know, it's a little bit of a tongue tie if you're not careful.
But
change.
The question
that I have for you, or the question I would readily have for you, have the chains actually changed? Or are they the same? Are they just different, you know, isms, different schisms, different mechanisms? Are they change in real terms?
Well, first of all, the real terms and the real chains was the chains that they put around your neck and the chains that they put around your wrist, the chains that they put around your ass. That was the real chains, first of all. Then later on, it was the chains that was removed from those areas and placed in the chains in your mind. And when they put those chains in your mind, that was through education. That was through education. And somebody may hate this, but that was also through religion. And this is what I spoke about as well. So education, religion, teaching, showing that people, making them think a little bit different, or educating you in such a way, their stories they share is what they want us to hear. You know, so in other words, it's not our story, it's their stories. So
and when you say their story, because, you know, recognizing that today we're speaking to persons within a community which is multicultural, multiracial. And as persons listen, they need to find themselves in the space of this conversation. So when you say it's their story, you know, who are you referring to as their?
I'm referring to the people who, first of all, were the ones our captors, those who brought us over to the Caribbean or to this part of the nations. The folks who, and you know what, I could call countries names, but you know, Britain was one of the big ones too. France, Italy, all those areas. But the point is, you know what, we are now at a point whereby, remember now, the chains was on our hands and on our wrists, and then it was moved to our minds. And then we moved to another part where the chains were broken, but still in our minds. So in other words, we still follow a system because this is what we were taught. And I am saying in this book as well, is that we must be educated, but train ourselves even more to learn more than we have been taught. Because if we just listen to what they were teaching, it was from one particular way, so that we could be calm, we could be laid back, and you know what, to make you feel comfortable in your own skin. And one of the biggest things is, hey, it wasn't me. It was those people way back then. Yes, but we have to be educated to know where we stand and then to know where we're going. And that is where we spoke in the last part about the future that's covered in my book.
Yeah. In your media kit, you talk about having conscious discussion. One of the things you intend to generate out of this particular project, this new project of yours, Changed Chains, is the title of the new book by Roger Colebrook, and we're having a discussion. Colebrook, we're having a discussion here, just want to pause to send a big shout out to his wife, Melissa Colbrook. I happen to also know her, a wonderful lady. I'm sure that in all of this good work that he's doing, it's simply a function of her inspiration. So he won't say that, but that's my lease because he's on my show. But this idea of conscious discussion, where do you want to go with that? And what for you represent this conscious discussion?
Well, first of all, I wanted to start where it's starting right now with you and me talking about it and having an open dialogue. And that's why I thank you so much for having me on the show to talk about it. I want to talk about the injustices. I want to talk about slavery, not from the point of saying we have to fight the power right now, you know, but what it is for us to have this conscious discussion. We could have conscious discussions in groups. We can have conscious discussions in our homes where the mother and father sit with their teenage child and literally tell them about slavery, tell them in different ways and ask the older folks or the older generations too, hey, what do you know about this? Tell me about this. Where we can talk about the journey and how they came through. What were you taught, mommy and daddy? Or what were you taught, grammy and grandpa? Tell us, what do you know about this in terms of our history? And then what about now? Are we brainwashed or how do we get out of it and how do we become educated? But the idea is to start talking about it and maybe having these conscious discussions in our schools. H.E., wouldn't it be fantastic to literally, just to have honest discussions on our past, on our history, our journey getting here, the education and sometimes miseducation that we get.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes.
And I believe that there's a starting point, and I believe that in many ways the educational system, the social system, and sometimes the disregard for the history of our own ancestry, where we are from, respect for the diaspora, has done injustice to many persons like you, yourself and me and you, persons of African background, black-skinned people, where we have gotten to the place where we no longer love ourselves. We no longer appreciate the beauty that we represent. We do not any longer appreciate the unique differences that we present to the world. And in many instances, we're changing it. We see this manifested in persons bleaching the skin, persons changing the texture of the hair, persons doing all sorts of things. And I'm not trying to be critical. All I'm saying is that at the end of the day, our society has evolved in such a way, minus this education that you speak of, such that we are at a place and time where we no longer embrace the best of us, the essence of us, as representing the epitome of beauty and the epitome of what greatness represents and the epitome of what the possibilities are as a human being. In many ways, we have kind of fallen into the same traps that our forefathers fought against.
Absolutely. And what we have to do is create that change. What we have to do is to make sure make sure we treat ourselves and we tell other people that we're beautiful. We can wake up and say, first of all, what a gorgeous day that God has given us. And then we're beautiful. You mentioned my wife a little earlier, right? And I have to say that she has been my support. Melissa has been my support throughout the whole process. When we talk about me writing a book, that's one thing. But here it is. She's been the mouse behind the whole thing too. If it wasn't something that was right, she'd say, hey, let's go. So here it is. You have a couple here who's been working together and really hard and pushing and saying what difference we could make because we believe in this project so much. Our hearts are in it completely, H.E. We believe it and we have to talk about change. And it's so amazing when you talk about us loving ourselves. Our little daughter, my wife wrote a little song about her saying, I love my skin, I love my hair, eyes, nose, and lips too. Why? Because I am one of a kind. And when we talk about that, when we sing songs like that to our kids, we tell them that we love their skin, we love their hair, we love their nose. I am one of a kind. And that's just it. So we have to start talking about things like this. It's about self-love. And that is what we have to do. And that's one of the parts with this. Change chains is removing the chains from around our necks and our hands and removing it from our minds and soaring into the future and loving ourselves and making a difference and showing that the best form of wealth or anything is not the silver and gold. And I'm not going to talk about it much more because I want people to go ahead and purchase my book.
Yes, we definitely and these books, you're having the launch tomorrow. Tomorrow is the official launch, the 16th of December. Yes. Where is this launch going to be? And, you know, what exactly is going to be involved? How are persons going to be able to access this book?
Okay, thank you for asking. I really appreciate that. It's not going to be a book launch right now. It's going to be a book release.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be released tomorrow morning. You go into Logos Bookstore at Harbor Bay Shopping Center. You walk in there, you will see my books on display. Please go ahead, and I ask you all to go ahead, buy a copy of the book, give it as a Christmas gift, give it away to somebody. And you know what? One of the greatest gifts would be is not just giving it to somebody, giving it to a class in school.
A whole class. Buy one for all of the kids in the class.
No, I apologize. Not for the whole class because wow, that may be something. Buy it for the whole school.
Yeah, okay.
Buy it for the whole school.
There you go.
Buy it for the whole school. You see, it's very important that we start understanding ourselves a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get a point whereby we understand one another. And that brings me to a point where I want to tell you. A civil rights leader once said, you know, and I think everybody knows John Lewis, he even said, our struggle is not the struggle for one day, one week, or one year. And I'm paraphrasing, but it's a struggle of a lifetime, or maybe even many lifetimes. And each of us in every generation must do our part. See, what I'm doing right now is trying to do my part.
Yeah, what is your struggle, though? What is the struggle you fight in today?
Pardon me?
What is the struggle? I totally agree with the quote that you just read. But the question I would want to put to you is, most persons will ask you, they will ask you in a cynical way, I'm asking you in a very serious way.
Yes.
What is your struggle? I look at you, I see a well-groomed young man, an individual who has been to many places, work in different places of the world, who has sit with important and influential individuals. You have a great life. You know, what kind of struggle are you talking about?
I thank you for saying that. Right now, you know, I thank God for everything that I have and everything that I've done, everything that has been afforded to me, my wife, my children, everything. And I am so, so grateful. But we have to understand the struggle is about friends.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if I don't want to be in a situation whereby, let's say, I could go out and have dinner each day, but my friends can't. They're going to be uncomfortable. We need to figure out how we're going to give everybody an opportunity to do that and to think and really help people to make a difference in their very own lives.
Yep.
And sometimes it has to be based on their knowledge, their reading, their understanding of where they started and where they have to get to. You see, if you look at a story like me, you'll see a little fellow who whose parents struggled so hard, who had basically nothing from Camp Road and moved up into Yellow Elder, where my family still lives and my mother. but yet try to give their kids the best education that they possibly can. And here it is. I had the opportunity to get involved in a program called Junior Achievement. And although I still didn't have any money, I had the thought that in my mind that maybe somehow or the other, I could maybe do a little something or be a little bit more. Because I can tell you, I was never poor. We had no money, we had nothing, but nothing as compared, but it wasn't poor because all of us were the same. We played marbles in the road, we played randoms, we played hotscotch, we did all those things. So we could jump up and down, we were never poor. So when I had the opportunity to do things and then getting involved in an organization like Toastmasters later on, man, that was a stepping stone that helped make me recognize the fact that looking at the other people involved, saying, hey, I could get somewhere. I could do something. Look at this example over here. Look at that example over here. Maybe I could make a difference. And then I started to say, with this knowledge that I have, maybe I could make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's why we do what we do, to make a difference in other people's lives. So it hasn't all been that rosy and great. Well, maybe it has, because you know what? If you're poor and you don't know you're poor, you're normal. And I was always normal. And I'm thankful for that. You know? Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. And it is something that you can leverage in the opposite direction, because sometimes if you are chained, don't know that you are chained, you will act and behave as if you are normal. And so we are going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit more conversation with Mr. Roger Colebrook, who is about to release his newest project, his Changed Things. That's the name of the book. It's a poetic journey, and it talks about how do we have conscious discussions? How do we look at what the vestiges of slavery is? And this whole idea of mental subjugation, he touches on that. But one of the things that we want to talk about when we come back on the other side is the idea of self-preservation. How do you, with a history of slavery as a part of your tradition, how do you then move into a place where self-preservation becomes so important, so vital, but not just simply to preserve, but to grow and to thrive like he has up to date. So we're going to take a break here. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. This is a special one. We are calling it Unchained Essentials, because we are speaking with a man who cannot be chained. Mind free thinking, free flying, the one and only Roger Colebrook. Don't move. Right back.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Juan McCartney, And I'm wishing you, Emily, all the happiness in the world this holiday season and all of God's abundant blessings in the new year. Here's to hoping you have a great 2022.
Yes, Rasta. All them black people that belong to Africa. So I swear up your diggity and heart. Ailey! Hey, ha. Oh, Hey, Kalangola. Kalangola. Up on my African Gola. Kalangola, 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 Opechashamalang, Gola, Kalangola. Me burn the fire from Babylon, not take no chat from Babylon. Cause are you corrupt, you get a youth, we do no wicked act, who no Babylon. When me walk, I trample down Babylon, I can ride down Babylon. Who no wild beast, they are with your clans and plans, won't come trapping the man, who no think, who no can come take Mama Africa from me again. No, who no can come take Mama Africa from me again. Who no think, who no can come take Mama Africa from me again. No, who no can come
take. As we listen to Roger Colebrook with his Chain Chain, and we blend that up a little bit, but we started with the Obia Man, and now we're hearing from Jabouks. You think you can take Mama Africa from me again? And basically, that's what you're saying. You're saying through this book, you want to say to persons, let's keep a consciousness, let's keep a knowing, let's keep an understanding of who we are, where we are, and where we are from. Isn't that the case, Roger?
Absolutely. I'll share with you some of what I'm talking about in terms of even the future. And here's a snippet from the book. The future is now. We must stand tall, face all that this world has to give. The chains in our journey made us stronger than many. The past we must never relive. Spirits bent, not broken, not even our pride. Plundered, but we lived on. For the millions who died, we could never be satisfied until this battle is won. So, Mr. Edwards, that's another snippet from the book that I wanted to share with you that talks about the future. And we have to stand tall so that we can make a difference. And, you know, we have to preserve ourselves right now because there's no going back. There is. We are here.
Yeah, but someone would make the argument, and I'm going to be that someone for the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that you would be afraid of going back to? What is it to be afraid of? You know, we're just not in the times. It's not 1834 anymore when we are moving into emancipation or we're going through apprenticeship. It's certainly not prior to that when we are on the fields, you know, cutting the cane, picking the cotton. It's certainly not a time when we are making the journey across the Atlantic in the bowels of the ship. It's certainly not the time. Now we are here. We are not seen any longer as chattel. We are, you know, seen as human beings living in this part of the world. We look at our leadership, and our leadership looks like us, and they talk like us, and they behave like us. And what is it that we are concerned about going back?
And I am so glad you mentioned that and that you put it that way. What are we concerned about? Do you realize that many of those things are still happening today? People being herded like cattle, people trying to find a better way of life, moving from one country to the other. Maybe there's war in one place. When they grab prisoners of war, they throw them into jail cells and all that. They just can't do certain things to them, but obviously they have them like cattle. There are many things that go on today that make us just shame sometimes to be human. And we have to, and once again, that's why we have to dialogue. Now, when we talk about the black man not being shamed, no, he shouldn't be shamed if he want to go back and visit where his ancestors were, but he should never go back to being captive or that in his mind that it's okay. Because we could never accept being okay. Okay is never good enough. Because, you know, we have to also recognize the fact that it wasn't a long time ago, H.E., it wasn't a long time ago where, you know, you remember why Black Lives Matter started. Look at what happened. A knee on the neck of a gentleman. I mean, this is a black man lying down there in the state, and I thought it was only one police officer having the neck on his knee on the gentleman's neck. That's Floyd, George Floyd. And when you find out and look beyond, you see some other cops pulling his legs. That's a short time ago, but that's in one area. We're talking about a big area, but the same thing happens in other areas. I mean, so we have to look at these things and say, you know, we cannot accept this, and we're not going to go back to these things if we can help it. But we have to talk about it and make a difference. Look at different areas too when they talk about voting.
Right.
Can you believe that you can't even vote in some areas today if you're black? Well, it's because you're not in that area. You have to go get a license first. So you go to get a license, and then they said, well, you know what? The DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles or something, and I'm talking about the U.S. as well, you know, Department of Motor Vehicles, well, I'm sorry, but they have closed down and it's 20 miles away. So they have to get a bus now to get 20 miles away to go get their IDs and so forth. Then when they get there, voting is over, so they can't vote. You know what? It wasn't that long ago, too, when I think you might remember in Syria, we weren't even called equal people. We weren't even considered a whole person. Can you believe that? We were never a whole person.
Yeah, but for the most part, though, the scenario you describe is the American experience. And I'm always very, very careful when I have discussions like these. While there is great affinity and there is great brotherhood with all Black people of the world, right? I am always very careful not to shackle myself to necessarily too tight to the Black American experience because it's different.
Understood. Okay, let's forget
about it. In many ways.
Let's go to British. You want to let's talk about British system? Because you want to hear some things, or let's go.
Yeah. But what about the Bahamas? What about the Caribbean? Since we are here, we're here in the Bahamas, we're here in the Caribbean, and we always like to kind of figure out a way of how these stories that we are telling, how these conversations that we are having, how do they affect me? How do they affect us? Why is it that I should not, you know, dismiss these conversations, because I don't see them as relevant. I don't see them as having any impact on me, because in the Bahamas, I'm free to vote. I can vote, person vote 90%. If I'm in Jamaica, I can. Why is it important for us to stop and listen to what you are saying?
Yes, thank you again for bringing something like that up, because we have to talk about home right here, homegrown. You remember now, it was not too long ago, too, when women couldn't even vote, or Black folks couldn't even vote unless they had property. I mean, to be where the majority had no say in their own land. I mean, and that's right home with us. When we talk about things, grade point average right now in schools, we have to try to build up on that. When we talk about murder rates going up, see, these are why we have to have these type of discussions. Because everything affects us, and everything around the world impacts us. And we have to be a little more discerning and learn and understand this so that we can we can be a more educated nation. You know, it can't be a few of us who can talk about many different countries or even and yet can't talk about home or understand what's going on here. I mean, because I am a Bahamian, I'd like to know that work so hard so that I could have a better way of life. And yes, you may say that I have a better way of life. But what about Raymond or John or James and so forth? We have to help them out. We have to get our schools back on track. We have to make sure that education is important. And at the same time, you know, through this, we know we are resilient people. We are a resilient people because, you know what, the change in our journey made us stronger than many, and we're living up to that. But we have to do better overall in terms of what are we going to do. Even when we have things like hurricanes that come through now, we recognize that these are the times when all the troubles that went on 2 years ago or 3 years, it's nearly like the chicken coming home to roost right now, where people need help. And we help them.
And that's where I wanted to kind of bring your mind. I mean, I know you have these covered, but just to the listening audience out there, because in many ways, when I look at the title of your book, I could say to myself, you know, just sitting in a dark place or in a quiet space without the guidance of the author, change. And if I reflect on that for a minute, I'm saying, this is my conclusion now. We have, as a people, moved through this experience, the experience that I personally refer to as the African Holocaust, because that's exactly what it was. Some persons do not like that type of terminology. But we have come to a place where in 2022, in the modern Bahamas, in the modern Caribbean, we still can ask ourselves a very pointed question. Have the chains changed such that we are still the pressures, even though the actors are different, even though the circumstances are different in many ways? And you touch on some of these, the access to education. Not everyone has the same level of access to education. There are issues around housing. There are issues around exposure and opportunities. Have we gotten to the place where, and is this one of the arguments that you are proposing, that we as a society need to look back and then take a look at our present and our future and ask ourselves, are we still in the business of breaking chains? We still have chains that we need to break in order for us to move forward and evolve the way we need to evolve to become our fullness as human beings.
You know, one of the things that took place is that we had the chains, like I mentioned beforehand, around our necks and arms. And then later on, the chains were in our minds. Mm-hmm. And if we break chains, yes, we have to break a lot of the chains in our minds. I have to tell you, I believe that in this modern era, we have broken those chains. The only problem is the chains were broken, but still in our brains, you see? And that's just it. It's still there. It may be broken and fragmented and so forth because we're becoming a little bit more educated. Or a lot of times, some people just don't know what's right or wrong or what's up or what's down, and that's why I am asking for education. Mm-hmm. You know, they must be educated to a level whereby they can make change. Our brothers and sisters out there are fighting to try to survive sometimes, just to survive, you know, not even looking for $1 million, but just looking to survive. And sometimes they're so mentally disturbed by what's going on. I just want to mention that a few years back, I also remember, you know, when there only used to be a certain type of football players who were quarterbacks. You could never have a black quarterback because they were talking about they didn't have the skills because they were black, something in their minds. That was dispelled so quickly and so easily because you had the brightest and the best that came out. The same way in different type of areas. Yeah, I mean, music, everything else is so, you know, the chains is you know, even though it may be fragmented now, we could never forget where we were and where we're going to. And that's so in our lives right now. We can't go back to how it used to be. Our mentality can't allow us to even think about something like that. We must move forward and become better.
Are you concerned that while we may not go back to the physical subjugation, you keep touching on the mind, but are you concerned that we could get to a place where it's not a physical subjugation, it's a mental subjugation, but eventually it spills over into the physicality so that we see more persons living in poverty, more persons living below the poverty line, unable to break out of communities which are oppressive in terms of living standard and so on and so forth? Do you have a concern?
Absolutely. It's going on now. It's going on now. It's mental. It's mental. Because if I can't break you down in a physical sense or legal, then it becomes mental. How do I do it? How do I break you down?
And who would be doing the breaking down, though?
I think you know the answer to that, but it's, you know, look at our prisons, look at the prison systems around everywhere. And when you see that happening, it's clear that the black man is in trouble. And you know what? A lot of times the black women, that's why, you know what? We must be educated and train our minds to learn much more than we've been taught. We have the brains to improve. So to the world, we must prove we're better for how hard we've fought.
When an individual picks up this book, Change, whether they buy it for themselves, they get it as a present, or they are one of the students in one of those schools where someone is going to come and buy 1,000 books for them. When a young man goes through the book, regardless of background, regardless of color, regardless of creed, and reads through this, what is he going to walk away with? What type of awareness, what type of new sensitization is he going to walk away with, consistent with your desire to see us in that better light? And by us in this instance, I'm talking about every human being.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what he'll walk away with. He'll walk away with a great book. It's not a history book, but a thought-provoking book, a poem that was written that took time to literally go through a process that I was thinking about. It spoke about the journey, what the man had to go through or people had to go through to make it over here. The education, or what we could say, the miseducation. We'll talk about the present, what they're going through right now and things that they're feeling and also the future, where are we moving towards? Also, I have to tell you, I started this project about more than 10 years ago. I first had some artwork artists. It was a young man by the name of Lamaro Smith. I saw his works on one of the windows somewhere in a store in Freeport, Grand Bahama. And I said, man, I like that type of artwork. And I want to meet this guy. And it so happened that Lamaro was working with my wife. And she introduced us. And I was like, whoa, this young fellow was such a talented Bahamian artist. I said, here is what I want to draw. So I had one picture commissioned. And then several months later, another. And then another. And another. And it wasn't until here we go, about 10 years later, during this COVID time, I had the chance to sit back and review everything that I was thinking, because I had these thoughts going through my mind beforehand. Change. What you have gone through, what our parents have gone through, what our grandparents have gone through, what our great grandparents have gone through. And I started writing, and I was trying to figure out which medium I could use, but a poetic style just kept coming through, and I had to write it as a poem. And I said that this is what I have to get out, not just to the Bahamas, to the Bahamian population first, and then we go beyond, and that is to the world.
Definitely. And so I took a sip while you were talking, and I think it went, it changed me a little bit. So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to bring the conversation to a close. But again, remind us exactly what is going to take place tomorrow. How are you going to start this book release?
Yes. We'll start when you come back.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, at Harbor Bay Shopping Center, just when they open their doors, I think it's at 9 a.m., you go right in and go purchase your book. And I have the information in the book, too, where you can. We're working on RoderickColbrook.com. RoderickColbrook.com, we're working on. Right now, it's up. But you'll find information, all the information. Or send me a WhatsApp. Or if you want to meet me, I'll sign your book. You know, the cost of the book, I have to tell you, is $15 plus VAT. $15 plus VAT. Very inexpensive for Christmas gifts to just go around. But I don't want to sell it as this. I'm selling this as something that people should have. Mr. Edwards, H.E., I believe that this book should be in everybody's home. I think that it should be, and maybe every author would say the same thing. But I believe that this should be on everybody's table.
You have to have confidence in your work. And yes. I know you as someone who does excellent work. And if you want to reach Roger Colebrook and you can't find him, as long as you find me, I guarantee you, you will find him. So for those of you out there who don't have a direct connection with him, just find me. I am on social media. You know my number, 376-8951. It's well known. Give me a shout and we will find. We're going to put a wrap on this. I'm going to leave a couple of minutes just to have my own little conversation, but it was certainly always good to have Roger Colebrook on the show. Don't move, Roger. Stay right there. We will
come
back after this break. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. It was staggering. Thank you.
one of my favorite Bahamian songs. It is one of those things that tells a story. It's poetic. It's a journey. And that's exactly what we are doing here this evening. We have a man with the poems who is making a poetic journey from slavery, of slavery. It's not a history book, as he mentioned. It's a book of poems, but it's one which is designed to invoke consciousness, to get persons to think, get persons to start to wrap their minds around where we are, who we are, where we are from, the possibilities of the future, the possibilities of the current times, by where we have been. You know, we started the show early here by saying that we are the children of the survivors, and that must in fact mean something. So as we wrap up this segment for you, Roderick, and again, we give a shout out to you and your team, including your wife, Melissa Colebrook, for putting out this wonderful project. I want to say congratulations to you too. You know, it's inspirational. It's always inspirational when you know somebody personally and they do great things. You know, you're always going to be so proud of that. So, you know, I'm right over here cheering. And as I said, persons earlier, if you wish to find Mr. Colebrook and you don't know how to find him, find me and I'll help you to find him. Give me your final words. What is it that you want to leave the listening audience with as it relates to your book?
Well, thank you for this opportunity, H.E. I want to tell you that my book is a book of poetry filled with hope and beautiful artwork. Filled with hope and beautiful artwork. I think that the art itself speaks for itself, but the words are also art, words of art that provokes thought, make people think, and where you want to get involved and really talk about what's going on. I believe that a book like this will make a difference in our community, in our schools, and even at the international level. So I would hope that people would go ahead and go ahead, make your purchase. Stop at Logos Bookstore in the Harbor Bay Shopping Center. They're open from 9 to 5. Harbor Bay Shopping Center, Logos Books, and get yourself a copy, or two, or three, and H.E., maybe four.
buy as many as you can. Make some gift with some person. I know, before you jump back in, you know, sometimes we have conversations around projects and things which persons done, and, you know, it's kind of like hawking and peddling. You know, we're not doing that. We're saying to you that this is a quality project. There's no if, but, or suppose. If the project, then regardless of how close me and Roderick is, he wouldn't be on the show talking.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you that. So when you step out and go to get your copy, think about it in this way. As Bahamians, he's a Bahamian. We ought to write, we ought to tell our story, we ought to build a body of work which is going to be left behind for generations to come. Here is a man who has taken the time to contribute to that, to speak into the consciousness of the future. And because of that, he deserved to be supported, he deserved to be held up, and he deserved what all artisans in this country deserve, the support of all other persons within the country. So I am entreating you, I am encouraging you to go out and support. Roderick. Roderick, it's over to
you. H.E., thank you so much for those words. Makes me feel really good, and it's why I'm doing what I do.
Yes.
It's just a blessing to have the opportunity to do this, and my wife and I, we said we're not going to release anything until it's right. We're going to do it right. If it costs more money, so be it. It's not going to be something that we just push out there. Yeah. We care, and we care about the Bahamas. We care where we're going and where we're taking this. So I want to thank all the Bahamians already, everyone out there, everyone who purchased the books already. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I encourage others to get a copy of this book because I really do believe that it should be on every table, everywhere.
Thank you so much. We've been having this wonderful conversation with Mr. Roger Colebrook, the hotelier, the author, the songwriter, husband, father, man of all seasons. He's joined us here. He's not a stranger to the essentials. You've heard him here many times before, and I think you're going to hear him some other time to come. Thank you so much, Roger, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
So we're going to take ourselves another break. We're going to get some songs in there. And then when you come back, I'll share with you one poem of my own since Roger has cast. Need to start thinking in that direction. In the evening, you listen to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit solutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
She turned away, yeah, Johnny gonna go play and he gonna live to regret this day. Well, the cat jumped through the window, knocked the pot off the stove. The wind blew the fire and make it burn much higher. The fire catch the curtain catch the roof, and Johnny Ma clapboard house burned down. What's your mama gonna do when she find out about you, boy? People, way, way, on the next side of the ocean, way, 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 they gon' hear a commotion, and you gon' need surgical operation.
When they find out about you, that is, I think it's Eddie Minnis, yeah? That one is another one I like very much. It's lyrical, it's a story. Anyways, it's poetic. So we just had a wonderful conversation with Mr. Roger Colebrook. We talk about his book, Unchained, Change, Chains, Change, Chains. And we are, you know, just saying to you, go out and get it. He's going to release that tomorrow. So we talk about many things, and oftentimes persons, you know, resist discussions like these because it touches on maybe a nerve, because it reflects around and the African experience, the African Holocaust, the experience of slavery, the experience of colonialism, the experience of impoverishedness and those things. But other persons take the same argument and the same conversation, and they turn it into a positive, as our guest would have done today, and using it as a platform for creating a consciousness, for creating conscious discussion, for creating a place of reflection, so that we can think about with great levels of mindfulness. How is it that we move from a state of self-preservation, as it was for our forefathers, to where we are today, where we are seeking to grow, to thrive, to become the best, to live to the greatest and optimal essence of our humanness. And so, again, thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Colebrook. I am just going to share quickly something with you. Like Roger, from time to time, I will sit down and I'll write. And this one, you know, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But I think it's an appropriate time to read it against the backdrop of a book which oozes with Africanness, which oozes and tells a story about our experience of the past. Footsteps of a, hear the footsteps of a black man walking, his toes dancing to the rhythm of his breath and beating, and the beating of his chest as he glides across the plains of his jungle, free, alive, dominating the rivers, the air, and the land, living in oneness and filling his obligation as king of the earth. I hear the footsteps of a black man walking silently through the reeds, across the river bed, through the mud as it oozes between his toes, grounding him to the electric elements of nature, heeding the power which unleashes his spear with the precision and clinical dexterity, spilling the blood of his prey, spraying its blood across the blades of grass, which bathes his feet as he sprints in pursuit, each movement unleashing a pleasant cacophony of sounds made only by the footsteps of a black man. I hear the footsteps of a black man, laboring in the jingles of his chains, washed with the perspiration of soul as it oozes out of every pore, with every step taking him away from the harsh sun of his ancestors, his feet tapping out a complex message, waving goodbye to the land that was his as his chains and the vices securing his neck creeps with every shift of his body. The echoes of his strides loses volume, spread of his toe loses power, and his ambulatory cadence tell a sorrowful story of the draining of his soul. I hear the footsteps of a black man shuffling across the sands of time, his former elegance drowned out by the splash of darkness on which floats the portal to his eternal torment, jagged toes, unfeeling toes, breaks the uneven points of a plank and bathes it in blood, leaving a trail, a message of sorrow and pain etched into the soul of a black man, sprinkled with the shards of wood buried deep within. I hear the footsteps of a black man leaving my home, coming home to my place of exile. I hear the footsteps of a black man sweetened with the residue of the product of his labor, no longer sorrowful, no longer sad, hardened with the spikes within, crusted to match the intricately patterned back, rearranged again and again with the lashes of time, lashes of purity, lashes of devilish wretchedness as he moves about with mud-encrusted feet, strong and defiant, brave, consistent, run at fights of freedom again and again. hear the footsteps of a black man. I hear the footsteps of a black man, thumping, thumping with rhythm of the drums, calling across the fields, the valley, and bouncing off the mountains. Echoes once again grow strong. The cadence of his stride broadens to match the width of his smile from behind blurring eyes, illuminated by the fire that runs deep within as he moves, tapping out a rhythm of resistance, pumping out a melody of rebellion, unleashing a trance of freedom. I can hear the footsteps of a black man. I hear the footsteps of a black man, a sound beating against the asphalt, bouncing from the walls, reverberating through the moments of time, the footsteps of a feet imprisoned in the implement of brilliance, breaking his connection with the elemental energy of his world, toes treated and cuffed with clinical brilliance, tapping a song into the future which plays only echoes of the past, echoes of the jungle, the crack of the shard of a plank sinking deep into the soul of a man, the haunting jingle of the cruel creeks firmly kneels into the windpipe, caressing calm submission of death. I hear the footsteps of a black man with every flare of my nostril, every heave of my chest, every flex of my toes. The footstep excites and haunts and reminds to also listen to the echoes, but never ever stop. The footsteps of a black man, burdened, void, ragged, elegant, sluttish, intentional, walking across the pages of time, walking defiantly to a place where echoes are heard only in the mind. I hear my footsteps, the footsteps of my father's father and his fathers before him. Do you hear the footsteps of a black man? And that, ladies and gentlemen, was my take at something which, like our guest this evening, he sat, I reflected, and I thought about. And that came to me, the footsteps of a black man. And it's not so much that we are going back and arresting ourselves to the past, understanding that the past informs our future. It informs our present. It's an understanding and an awareness which I don't expect everyone to have. I do not expect everyone to embrace. But for me, it's an understanding which defines who I am, who I want to be, and how I want to be. And so as we listen this evening and we talk about unchanged or change chains, I'm thinking about the title I gave to the show, Unchained Essentials. But as we look and we think about the title of the book this evening, Chained Chains, the question I have for you is, are we changing fast enough? Are we changing deeply enough? Are we doing the things which are going to allow us to step out in our greatest brilliance? Or as our guest kind of alluded, spoken to in a very, very serious way, are there things which are still kneeling on our necks? More importantly, because I speak to you, the person, you, the individual, are you unconsciously kneeling on the neck? Are you unconsciously kneeling on your own neck? Are you unconsciously kneeling on our neck? Next. Are you divorcing yourself from the things which are holding us back as a people, holding us back from embracing the consciousness of who we are, who we truly are, and who we ought to be? In a part of his release, our guest earlier spoke about the vestiges of slavery. We could extend that to the vestiges of colonialism, the vestiges of time past. Are we in our freedom, in our emancipated state, still holding on to those vestiges such that it creates subjugation, mental, while it might be, of some of our very own selves? Are we so far removed from ourselves, from the essence of who we are, from the Africanness of who we are, from the individuals who went through the struggle, the experience of the Holocaust, the experience of colonialism, the experience of the Caribbean, whether you're black, white, or blue. Are we so removed from that experience so that we no longer can hear footsteps of the past? And in so doing, we are repeating, maybe in different ways, maybe in subtle ways, but we are repeating some of the challenges. Because we're no longer there, we no longer love ourselves at the level where we are. We are so far removed from our essential Eden, the place where we are at our best, our greatest, our oneness with creation, our oneness with God, our oneness with all that we were created to be. Have we removed ourselves so far that we, at this stage, still failing to understand, to appreciate that, like George Floyd, we might very well be kneeling on our own necks, our own existence, our own possibility, our own future, squeezing the very life out of us? Are we going to take the time to stop, to pause, to internalize and to reflect such that we can hear the footsteps of the past? We can understand the movement of time, the movement of feet across the sands of time, which represents us and tells us a start and a roadmap. Black, white, pink, or blue we might be, but gives us a path to a better future, a better existence, a better us. Change, change. Are we going to work to make sure that the chains that hold us back are changed irrecoverably, once and for all, such that the future for all of us might be that more glorious? You've been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. We always like to end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. Thanks for listening tonight. All that's left is said. It's Christmas season, so be careful. Take care. Go out. Have fun. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Do it with moderation. Do it in good speed. And so it's one love and Ubuntu. Good night.
When I land, I land so free, oh no, so far.